KJAN Sports.
Time for a look at sports. Good morning. I'm Jim Field. The NFL's regular officials are coming back. The league and the referees union have reached a tentative contract agreement following three tumultuous weeks that included several blown calls by replacement officials. Although the contract must still be ratified by the union's 121 members, NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell announced the officials will be back on the field beginning with tonight's game between the Ravens and the Browns. The contract ends a three-month lockout that led to replacement officials. Negotiations really began to heat up after a missed call cost the Packers a win on a Hail Mary pass in Seattle on Monday night. The NFL fined Patriots coach Bill Belichick $50,000 and Redskins assistant Kyle Shanahan $25,000 for their conduct toward officials. The fines announced came as the league and its referees union were finishing the deal to get him back on the field. Belichick grabbed an official's arm at the end of Sunday night's game after the Ravens kicked a winning field goal. Shanahan was cited by the league for abuse of officials in Washington's loss to Cincinnati. On Monday, the league fined Broncos coach John Fox $30,000 and defensive coordinator Jack Del Rio $25,000 for berating officials during a loss to Atlanta on September 17th. Also, Steelers safety Ryan Mundy was fined $21,000 by the league for his helmet-to-helmet hit on Oakland wide receiver Darius Hayward Bay. Mundy knocked Hayward Bay unconscious after slamming him into him during a pass into the end zone during the fourth quarter last weekend. No penalty was called on that play. Iowa State free safety Jacques Washington says the Cyclones did a better job of handling their off week this time. ISU opens the Big 12 race at home Saturday night against Texas Tech. A year ago, the Cyclones followed up their bye week with a four-game losing skid.
Like last year, we kind of took the bye week off and just, you know, took it as a bye week and just played around. And I think last week we had three good practices and we had a good practice yesterday. So I think we're a mature team from last year. I think we're going to handle business Saturday.
Well, Cyclones are 3-0 for the second straight season, but last year opened the league race with a disappointing home loss to Texas.
We probably didn't have our best week of practice in taking the field against Texas, and it showed out there on the field, a bunch of mistakes. So this year, I think, like I said, I think we all practice well. By week, we're all rested up, and I think we'll be ready to go Saturday.
Washington says the Cyclones need to do a better job of taking advantage of the home field this week.
I think this week we'll probably have the largest crowd in school history with all the hype around this game, both teams being 3-0. And, you know, the atmosphere was live, and then they took us out of the game, so then it kind of just ruined the whole thing. So hopefully, well, we will keep the crowd in this game.
Last season, the Cyclones pounded Texas Tech 41-7 on the road as ISU held the Red Raiders' offense just 171 yards of passing with a couple of interceptions. Kickoff at Jack Trice Stadium Saturday night set for 6 o'clock. Well, Minnesota is 4-0 for the first time since 2008 as the Gophers get ready to visit Iowa in their Big Ten opener. Improvement on defense has been a big part of their success. After giving up more than 27 points per game in non-conference play a year ago, the Gophers are yielding less than 17 per contest.
Each week changes defensively. And, you know, you go from playing run team that's a spread, throw it 50 times a game, and then the next game you're lined up, somebody can run it down your throat. So, you know, defense is not easy to coach or play. And to this point, the first four games, we've been pleased with our effort. But, we step into the Big Ten, and we'll definitely have to find out how good we are this week.
That's Minnesota coach Jerry Kill. The Gophers are looking for their third straight win in the series and their first victory in Kinnick Stadium since 1999.
It's a rival game, and both teams I know will play well and play hard. And we have a great deal of respect. I certainly do with coach and how they play. So, you know, every game is important in the game of football. It's hard to win on Saturdays.
After winning a total of three games last year, Kill is happy with their 4-0 start, but he's not sure where they'll fit in the Big Ten race.
What you can control is the preparation, and that's what we try to do. And if we can stay consistent, then we'll let the chips fall where they may and just try. Like I said, we're building a program. We're a little bit different than everybody else in the Big Ten is right now. And, you know, we're a long way from where we want to be, but we are making some progress.
You can catch that game Saturday here on KJAN, Iowa hosting the Gophers, and that'll be a 11:05 kickoff. We're on the air at 9 o'clock in the morning with the pregame show. Well, Tom Osborne is preparing to end his longtime association with the University of Nebraska. The former head football coach is stepping down as athletic director. The 75-year-old Osborne put together one of the most successful coaching runs in college football history before serving in Congress and taking the reins as Nebraska's athletic director 5 years ago. He says he plans to step aside on January 1st, but he will stick around for several months as needed. A tentative plan for the new college football postseason calls for a Pac-12 or Big 12 team to face the best team from a group of five conferences. A person with direct knowledge of the plan for a four-team playoff in 2014 tells the Associated Press that either a Pac-12 or a Big 12 team likely will be the opponent for the top-rated champion from the Big East, Mountain West, Conference USA, Sun Belt, and Mid-American Conference. The proposal has the Pac-12 sending either its champion or a replacement team to the game in years when the Rose Bowl hosts a national semifinal. Well, there's a new leader in the American League Central. The Tigers put themselves in position to take over first place when they beat Kansas City 5-4 last night. It became a one-game lead once the Chicago White Sox were beaten by Cleveland 6-4. The Tigers snapped a four-all tie when Andy Dierks broke up a potential inning-ending double play in the eighth inning, allowing the go-ahead run to score. Alex Avila had two RBIs for the Tigers, but Triple Crown threat Miguel Cabrera went 0-for-4 and was robbed of a home run. The White Sox fell for the seventh time in eight games as Shin-Soo Chu had a go-ahead RBI grounder in the seventh inning, and Vinny Rattino hit his first homer for the Indians to cap off the scoring. The Tribe also took advantage of 12 walks by Chicago pitchers in knocking off the White Sox for the second straight night. That marks the first time the Sox haven't owned at least a share of the division lead since July 24th. Just three games separate first-place Texas and number two Oakland in the AL West. Yoenis Cespedes had one of two triples during a five-run first inning to carry the Athletics to a 9-3 win over the Rangers. Stephen Drew had four of Oakland's 16 hits, including a double leading off the game before scoring on Cespedes' triple into the right center gap. The New York Yankees and Baltimore Orioles enjoyed lopsided victories, which keeps the Bombers 1.5 games ahead of the Birds in the AL East. The Yankees scored six in the third to break open an 8-2 win at Minnesota. Chris Dickerson added a two-run homer to back CC Sabathia, who's 14-6. Also, the Orioles kept pace, ending a two-game skid by slamming a team record tying seven home runs in a 12-2 laugher against Toronto. The Angels stayed within two games of Oakland for the AL's final wild card berth as Torrey Hunter finished the tying and furnished the tying and game-winning singles as Los Angeles downed Seattle 4-3. Also, it was Tampa Bay making its seventh straight wins as Carlos Peña and Ben Francisco hit back-to-back homers in the fifth inning in the Rays' 4-2 win at Boston. In the National League, the Cardinals saw their lead for the second wild card shrink to 3.5 games over Milwaukee and Los Angeles. Bud Norris gave up just two hits over 7 1/3 innings to pitch Houston past the Redbirds 2-0. Jose Altuve helped Norris end his career-worst 12-game losing streak, which spanned 18 starts. Ryan Braun socked his league-leading 41st homer as the Milwaukee Brewers trounced Cincinnati 8-1. Matt Kemp's four hits and four RBIs highlighted the L.A. Dodgers' 8-2 rout of San Diego last night. Paul Mahalam combined with three relievers on a six-hitter as Atlanta blanked Miami 3-0. Washington's magic number to clinch the NL East is 4 after homers by Bryce Harper, Ian Desmond, and Kurt Suzuki powered the Nationals past the Phillies 8-4. The Nationals are four games ahead of second-place Atlanta with 7 to play. Elsewhere in the National League action, it was all 6-0 scores. Matt Cain allowed four hits in seven innings in San Francisco's 6-0 shutout of Arizona. Drew Pomeranz tossed five scoreless innings to help pitch Colorado past the Chicago Cubs 6-0. And David Wright is the Mets' all-time hits leader after going 2-for-4 in a 6-0 shutout of Pittsburgh. Wright entered the game tied with Ed Cranepool on the team's all-time hit list with 1,418 in his career. And also in baseball news, Colorado Rockies manager Jim Tracy is thrilled to learn that first baseman Todd Helton plans to play at least one more year. The 39-year-old Helton told the Denver Post that he intends to return in 2013 to play out the final year of his contract. He had season-ending surgery on August 10th to repair a torn labrum in his right hip. The five-time All-Star is a lifetime 320 hitter, but batted a career-low 238 in 69 games this year. Tracy said it's likely Helton would see his everyday role modified next year to include more off days. Also around the majors, the Baltimore Orioles placed left-handed pitcher Randy Wolfe on the 60-day disabled list with a torn ligament in his left elbow and purchased the contract of utility man Bill Hall from AAA Norfolk. Manager Buck Showalter said if Wolfe felt discomfort in his elbow during the fifth inning of Saturday's start in Boston. And Oakland has set an American League batting record for strikeouts. Chris Carter whiffed in the second inning last night. That's the Athletics' third strikeout of the game, and that was their 1,325th this season. That's one more than Tampa Bay had in 2007. That's Check of Sports this hour. I'm Jim Field, KJAN Sports.